Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 24. I will read from the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, Book of Luke, the 24th chapter, the final chapter, and go down to verse 35, and we do have notes, as is our custom. Luke chapter 24, New Living Translation, verse 35. If you're all there, say a big amen. Amen. Wonderful. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were talking about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Whoa. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened. They were thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened, verse 38, he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. And now, I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Let's all read verse 49 together. "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Gracious, awesome, and mighty God, come and do what you love to do as your people come together. We know that you're here theologically. We know that where there's two or three, you are gathered in their midst. But God, we're asking tonight that you would do something that would transform the hearts of minds. You'd transform the lives of your people, heart and mind. God, move in power right now. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Come and fill us with power. In Jesus' name, amen." Turn to three or four people and say, "Oh, yes." Come on, turn to somebody else and say, "You can be filled with power." Come on, turn to another person and say, "You can be filled with power." And I want to talk to you and encourage you about being filled with power. Because walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we're in this series called He Sent Him, Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is much different than just being saved and having the Spirit live on the inside of you. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, began to do miracles. This text, Jesus appears to the disciples. He shows them his hand and feet, and they're freaked out. And it's crazy. He asks for a piece of, you guys got anything to eat? I love that. But if you read the New Living Translation, which I read, and you compare that to the NIV, the New King James, or the King James, you might miss the fact that he had just appeared to the guys on the road to Emmaus. So understand what's happened is he appears to the two guys on the road to Emmaus, and they talk with him, and he tells them about the scriptures, and then when he breaks bread, their eyes are open, and they realize it's Jesus. Then he disappears. So now the two guys from Emmaus who were just with Jesus on the road are now with the rest of the company, and like, dude, for real, we were talking, he was opening our minds to the scriptures, and then when we broke bread, boom, he appeared. They're telling the story, and bam, he shows up again. I mean, that had to be really a moment. He appears to them, flesh and blood. And he opens their minds, verse 45, they open their mind to understand the scripture. You know, you need God to open your mind. I need God to open my mind. We need God to open our minds to understand the scriptures. And I've read the word of God through and through many, many times. And yet, it's never the same. Every time I read it, it seems to change. It's always unfolding. There's always new revelation. And then the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know very much. And then you can pray and you can meditate on scripture, and God begins to give you new things that you never saw. Even if you were walking with the Lord for 50 years, it comes alive. God needs to open our minds. He opened the minds to see the scripture said about the Messiah. So, I mean, what does that mean? And the road to Emmaus is back a few verses, verse 15. He talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he begins in the Old Testament. I mean, just think about the conversation that he actually had with them. He said, let's talk about the Garden of Eden for a second. And I think he begins to talk about the fall of man and the seed of the woman. I think he begins to talk about what we know as the proto-evangelium, pro-first evangelium, the first time the gospel is preached. It's the first time the good news is shared. The seed of the woman will crush the head of Satan. I think he started there, and I think he moved all the way along as the Holy Spirit spoke to him to speak to these men, and I think their minds were blown like the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And so they break bread, and all of a sudden their eyes are open. That's the encounter these two from Emmaus have. You read them, Matthew, and you get many of these Old Testament prophecies. I believe that Jesus went through all of that. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about the minds of unbelievers being darkened or dull or blind. A veil remains. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 3:14, but their minds are made dull, for to this day the same veil, when the old covenant is read, it must be removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. I went to church for years as a young man. I never heard the gospel. I mean, I went to the Catholic Church, so it can sometimes be hard hearing the gospel there. Could be pretty between the lines, where they just maybe rarely would just tell you plainly, believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. There's all this mixture of stuff in there. But even when I went to churches that were non-denominational churches, or I went to places and I heard the gospel preached, I never heard it. Why? Because my mind was dull. My eyes were blind. There is a blinding assignment that needs to be lifted off of people. Let me say this to you. Some of you, your eyes have been illuminated to the truth of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected from the dead. Yes, you're born again. You've repented of your sin. You've received the Lord. But there's another level of illumination. There's another level where your mind can be open to the things of the Word of God that has never been opened before. There's a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and you have to contend for that. The secret of the Lord he confides with those who fear him. That's a key for having your minds open, for having your heart illuminated. I believe that there's a church that's rising. I believe that there's a body of Christ that's rising that's full of power, full of revelation, that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I believe that God is raising up people who are hungry and thirsty to really know God by his word and to move in power to change this broken world that we live in that he placed us in. Do you believe that? Can you say amen in the house of God? And in verse 47, it says this. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins to all who repent. Let's all say that. There is forgiveness of sins to all who repent. And then verse 48, he gives them a vision of what they're going to be doing. He gives them a vision. And you are my witnesses. Come on, you know what a witness does in a court of law? They testify. They stand there and they testify. Yep, Jesus came. He's the Messiah. He's the one. Over 300 Old Testament scriptures spoken about him. He came. Emmanuel, God with us. By his stripes we're healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquity. Isaiah 53. Yep, I'm a witness. Yep, I'm born again. I received him. I was broken. I was busted, and he set me free. He healed me. I don't have torments anymore. I'm not sick anymore. I'm not broke anymore. I'm a witness. God's power has come upon me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead came upon me. I am no longer bound. I am no longer addicted. I am no longer sad. I am glad. Jesus set me free, and I'm here to tell you it's true. The gospel is true. It's a witness. Can you imagine that in a court of law? So he tells them, this is what you're going to be doing, boys. All of us are to be witnesses. It's amazing to me that even in the awkwardness that we can have sometimes with people, he'll still use that. He'll use anything if you'll just be willing. If you'll just be willing to step out. Just be willing to open up your mouth. And share. Raise your hand if Jesus has done something for you. Go tell someone. Tell them. Use social media by all means. Live it as well. God's raising up a generation of people who are not reeds, but they're reeds. They're not easily blown over, but they're full of boldness, full of fire. The key to this passage for tonight, however, is verse 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. I'm going to send you what my Father promised. I'm going to send you what my Father promised. It's beautiful to read through Luke going into Acts because there's a continuity between the two. And the reason there's a continuity between the two is because Luke wrote Acts. So when you read through, in fact, some believe that Luke and Acts was just one book put together, but it's separated in our Bibles, God knows. But we do know that Luke wrote Luke the physician. He says things like, she had a high fever. He uses different terminology to emphasize things, especially with regards to healing. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave the city. He gives a command, don't leave the city. And you gotta wonder about that, because what happened to the 500? Come on, there's 500 that Psalm has sent. Why is there only 120 in the upper room? Well, it's the same reason we only have a few hundred here tonight, and it's not full. Some people are hungry, and some are thirsty, and some aren't. I understand. Let me say the Let me leave a back door. I understand people are working right now. I understand people are traveling right now. I understand people are, you know, doing something else. But then some say they're having, I can't come on Wednesday night because it's family night, but you're in the four corners of your house on Netflix, all watching different programs, and one of you is listening to me right now. I'm talking to you. You're home. Your family should be here. Your kids, get the Holy Ghost. My son preaching in the youth tabernacle right now. I got King Kids over there. He said, well, I'm just too tired. Seriously? Like, I'm only going to preach for another 3 hours. Can't you just give up three? No. Come on. Realistically, I'm supposed to end by 8:30, but I made the rules so I can change them. But generally speaking, I don't go past 9 because we all have early morning prayer. Oh, did I just step in something? Some of you are sleeping during early morning prayer, but you could be here also. Why? Where are the 500? Where are the 500 that saw him ascend? They're watching Netflix also when they're in the upper room here. Acts chapter 1. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Acts 1 and 8, listen to this, but you'll receive power. What will you receive? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Being filled with power has a purpose. Being filled with power has a purpose. He doesn't just fill you with power so that your hair can stand on end and be like, look, I feel the Spirit. No, it's, yeah, praise God. Your hair stands on end. Wonderful for those of you that have hair. That's fantastic. But what's the reason? To touch you, to heal you? Sure, I would say absolutely yes, emphatically yes. To comfort you? Certainly. But it's also so that when you feel like weeping on the wall and you can't help anybody, if you'll just step out, he'll put power on you. There's no, that story that I told you about Bob Rogers, that's like an inside story. I don't usually tell that story because it's just like, what do you mean? I thought like you never get tired. Oh, no. I do. And when I get tired, it's time to rest. The only problem is when it's time to rest and you're not done. You know what I mean? My tired, like exhausted, dizzy. As I've gotten older now, when I get really exhausted, I get flu-like symptoms. And it's just, there's only one thing I got to do. Go to bed and maybe eat a little something and go to sleep. And it's just amazing. It shows our utter dependence on God. You look at the prophets of old and wipe out Jezebel's prophets, and then he's just trying to, you know, have a little snack by the brook called Cherith. He runs away from her. He just killed all the prophets of Baal. What are you running from? I don't know. When you're really tired, you don't know. But when God's power comes on you, it changes everything. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Say, I need your power, oh God. Okay, why do you need his power? To change everything, to be a witness, to be used by God. Yes, for your own personal life. Yes, for your marriage. Yes, for your kids. Yes, for your finances. Yes, for your emotions. Yes, 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 all of that. But also to be a witness, to reach the lost. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, be my witnesses. This text that we read is fulfilled in 5 different instances in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at them. 5 different instances. Go to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. We know what that's like. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared to settle on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, what kind of noise? A loud noise, Everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya. Around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood in amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They each said to each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." And Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this, these people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's 9 in the morning. It's much too early for that." Of course, unless you're a late-stage alcoholic, and then it's not too early. And if you think it's not too early, you might want to check yourself in. "No, we see what you see is predicted long ago by the prophet Joel." Has anybody ever seen anybody drunk here? I'm not going to ask you if you have been drunk, but I will ask you, have you ever seen anyone that's drunk? There's different kinds of drunks. You know, some people can, they say, hold their liquor and kind of hold it together and seem normal. Then there's others that clearly can't. Some people can drink a lot and it doesn't seem like it affects them. Other people drink very little. But the point is that when somebody appears drunk, it looks like they're drunk. It seems like they're drunk. There's something they're doing. And so when they looked at them, there's these tongues coming out of their mouth, and they appear like they're intoxicated. A lot of people respond differently when the power of God comes on them. Somebody said, "Well, is falling down on the ground a requirement?" No, but, you know, I remember getting electrocuted before, you know, like in the natural, like I grabbed some wires. Actually, it was my brother Chris, who's probably online. He stripped the wires. How's this for a brother? Love you, dude. Stripped the wires to my lamp. I went to turn it on, it didn't work. I'm in my bed. I'm like, man, the cord. And so I run my hand down the cord and I grab the part where it's been stripped. Nah. You want to see that again? Nah. Yeah. You say, is that what happens when you get electrocuted? Well, that's what happens to me. You know, a lot of people respond differently when they get tased. If you're a police officer, you're a military person, part of the requirement of going through and using one of those, as I understand it, is you got to get tased. And they have officers that'll hold you, and they're like, okay, go ahead. Crack, and they hit you in the back. And some people just be like, ugh, and they fall down. But other people make noises, man. And we had this one lady who was a part of our church. She was becoming a state trooper. And when they tased her, she was forever then called GOAT. Because she got tased, hit the ground. She's literally sounded like a goat. And they all laughed so hard. So listen, when the Holy Spirit touches you, it doesn't have to look like anybody else. There's power. And it doesn't matter how that looks to you. I've seen people, don't, I don't generally do that. I think I was kind of not mocking, but playing. And then the next service, I was buckling over like that. I thought, I don't want to do that, Lord. I just want to be dignified. Hallelujah. Thank you. But you know, when power comes on you, you might look drunk. You say, well, what will people think? Who cares? And there are those who want to get the attention of people. Somebody said, well, that's the flesh. Of course it is. We all have that. Somebody said, well, we're at our church. We don't want to have that because we don't want the flesh in our church. Too late. You're there. And he said, we just want things to be done decently and in order. We want things to be done decently in order as well. However, we've found that if you make room for the Holy Spirit, you might have people sounding like a goat. You might have encounters where people look like they're drunk. And some of those are real, and maybe some of them aren't real. Which one's which? I don't know. The Lord will give us discernment, and the truth is God's big enough to sort it out. And I'd rather allow for the Holy Ghost to come in power than limit him by my own intellect of what I think needs to be decent and in order. There's services, man. There's far too much order in some services. That's why people keep smoking weed or doing whatever they do. We need, come on, lift your hands to heaven. We need power, power from heaven. And people lined up in psychiatric offices, and I'm not against counseling. I am against secular counseling. I'm totally for biblical, anointed, spirit-filled counseling to be able to unlock some frozen, broken places in your life. I think that's amazing. We partake in it, have partaked in it, teach it, and have others teach it, and have a whole spirit-filled Holy Ghost counseling department. Amen. So it's not that I don't believe in that, but what I don't believe in is trying to, you know, you can't push the Holy Spirit out of his church and expect to have power, signs, and wonders. Look at Acts chapter 8. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. Okay, well, that's there's some packed theology here. These new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought you got the Holy Spirit when you first when you're born again. Doesn't the Holy Spirit come and take up residence in your life? The answer is emphatically 100% yes. But that is not the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm proving that to you in these instances here. So the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They've not yet been filled. They do not yet have the power. Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Fascinating. So this is new now, because in Acts 2, nobody laid hands on anybody. They just had fire come. Now they lay hands. Go to Acts 9. So Ananias went and found Saul, laid his hands on him. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, who sent me that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, and I should say that in Acts chapter 8, it doesn't say they prayed in tongues either, but it's something other than what has happened. What do you mean? Well, go look at the whole text. There's healing, signs, wonders, miracles, people, there's miracles taking place, healing. Simon Magus, the local warlock, becomes a believer. And then when the apostles come to affirm the move of God and they lay hands on people, something different than miracles, something different than supernatural healing, something different happens so that this, what's his name? Simon Magus. Magus, not maggot. Simon Magus. Something different happened for him to say, ooh, that's awesome. I've got some cash. Let me try to use my witchcraft to manipulate, and so I could have that power too. And that's where he gets in trouble. And there are people like Simon who are believers still bound by witchcraft, bound by things. So it's inferred there's some miracle that takes place that's other than regular salvation, healing, devils being cast out, something different. Are you following me? Acts 9. Ananias finds Paul, Saul, lays hands on him. Acts 10. Now here's Peter. Even as Peter is saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon those. So now the Holy Spirit falls in Acts 2, nobody laying hands. The Holy Spirit falls, the Holy Spirit comes upon people of Samaria through the apostles laying on of hands now. Then Ananias lays hands on Saul.
But here, no hands again. Peter preaching. Like right now, I'm preaching. It's like you're preaching and the power of the Holy Spirit begins to come on people. You say, does that happen in our services? Every time we're gathered, his power can feel like electricity. His power can feel different ways. If you'll open up your heart, I'm going to teach you just a few principles on how to be filled with power. So Peter's preaching and the power falls. Wow. Come on, somebody say, wow. And that's also spoken about in Acts 11 and verse 15. Acts 19 is a favorite passage of mine. While Apollos is in Corinth, verse 1, Paul, that's his Greek name, Saul, is the same guy. Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. So he sees these people. I don't know how he perceived them to be believers, but he perceives them to be believers. And he says this to him, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them, no, they replied, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He said, oh, the baptism of John. All right, let's move into some application here. How to be filled with power. How to be filled with power. I think the first thing, as keys come, please, the first thing is obey. Everybody say obey. Obey what? Well, Jesus gives a command. He says to them, tarry, wait in Jerusalem. So you have 500 people that don't obey. Maybe the 120 was a part of that, so it's 300 and whatever it is, 380. Did I get that right? That's awesome. See, power, hallelujah. 380 people take off, 120 are in the upper room. Where's the other 380? They didn't obey. They left. They were not around. God wants you to obey. Now, what do you mean obey? I mean obey everything. How do you know you love God? You'll obey his word. Jesus said that. He has a prescribed way of loving him. It's called obedience to his word. But in the context of what's being said, you wait, you tarry. They used to have tarrying services. How many of you ever heard of a tarrying service? You've been in Pentecost for a while. They would come to the altars and you would wait. Like if you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you wanted the Holy Spirit, you wanted the baptism of power, then you would come to an altar and you stay there. Until when? Until you get it. And that could be 2 and 3 and 4 hours. And some of those times were messy because you'd have people around you. Turn loose, hold on, turn loose. People slapping oil on you. Come on, just say it. Let it out of your belly. I bind it. I loose it. Some of those things were crazy. But the point is, obey and put yourself in a position to long for, to tarry, to yearn for the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the power. Don't you have power? I do. But I know there's more. And I think it's amazing. In my life, I don't know what your testimony is. In my life, when I can't go another step, when I just don't know what to do, and many times in those moments when the Lord wants me to move forward, I take one step and fire falls on me. It's happened over and over and over again. Everybody say obey. When's the last time you turned off the radio, turned off your phone, put away your stuff, and decided to have a tarrying meeting in your own living room, in your own home, or in service? You come early, seek God. Which brings me to number two. You got to have expectancy. Have expectancy. It's the seedbed of miracles. Expect God to do something. What God did at other times, he can do now. What he did in other people, he could do here. He could do with you. He could do with me. Have hands laid on you. Praise God. Everybody say praise God. Praise God. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, it starts that way. It's a good way to start. Obey, have expectancy, and start praising him. Well, I don't like doing that. Well, you better change that. That's probably going to be a blockage for you. Many times, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came when people are in the context of worship. Have hands laid on you. Again, that doesn't have to happen that way, but we do see clearly a pattern of people laying hands. Well, the Holy Spirit can fall on you now. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you in tongues. What does that mean? When His power comes on you, don't pray in English or whatever known language you have. Allow for sounds and syllables to come forth. Out of your belly will flow rivers, out of your innermost being, out of your koileia, your innermost being, koileia is the Greek word, will come these sounds and syllables. And they don't have to sound like anybody else. You're going to sound like you. My daughter, when she got filled with the Spirit, I don't know how old she was, 6 or 7. She's born again. I would tuck her in and we would pray. We'd have this whole prayer routine. And there was part of our routine, I would pray in tongues over her. And so I'm praying in tongues and she's just listening. And I had the thought, maybe she wants to pray in tongues with me. I said, hey, you want to pray in tongues with me, honey? She goes, nope. I said, okay. She goes, because I want to sound like you. That's what she says to me. And I thought, now that's interesting. I said, well, you're not going to sound like me. You're going to sound like you. She goes, well, I want to sound like mommy then. I said, okay, well, you're not going to sound like mommy either because you're your own divine original. I said, like, you don't look like me, right? She goes, no, I look like you. I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Our fingerprints are, okay. I said, so you're going to be different. It's going to sound different. She goes, oh, okay. I said, okay, so I'm going to pray for you to be filled. God's going to give you a prayer language right now. She goes, okay. I'm like, all right, lift your hands. 7 years old, 6 years old. So I prayed. She's got her eyes closed. I laid hands on her. I said, be filled in Jesus' name. And I said, okay, Hannah, just start letting sounds and syllables out. And at 6 years old, she starts praying in her own unique prayer language, and I start praying in mine. I'm weeping. I'm going, wow, that's young to be baptized in the Spirit. Glory to God. And she prayed in tongues fervently. And I'll never forget, she went to church all those years ago and was so excited to be walking. I mean, something had changed in her. You could see it. She went and shared with her friends. She got ridiculed so badly that she didn't pray in tongues for another 5 years. She just wouldn't. She was so embarrassed. You know, you got to watch out who your kids get near. Be careful. A pearl before swine. And they just, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. I sure wanted to take a rod to every one of them, but I didn't. Amen. Lift your hands to Jesus. Come on. I think we get all the notes here. Have hands laid on you. Let the Holy Spirit speak through tongues. The last thing is to go into all the world.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.